Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. This is the reading of God's Word. We proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this precious time of hearing Your Word. Bless the person who is preaching and bless all of us that the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will be preached. And Your Word will be understood by all of us. And let us believe and obey Your Word, so that we may live for Your glory. Through Your Word, let us see what our Lord has accomplished for us. Let us rejoice and give You all the glory and thanksgiving. And Father, through Your Word, let us have fellowship with You. And through Your Word, we pray that Your Son, Jesus Christ, will be glorified and exalted. And Father, we pray that You will pour out Your grace that we may grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we thank You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll finish this first chapter today. If you remember, the Apostle Paul said in verse 23 that he was made a minister of the gospel. And in verse 25, he also said that he is a steward of God who was entrusted with the word of God. Now in verse 28, he tells us of what he does as a such person. He says, we proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. He said, we proclaim Him, Him being Jesus Christ, as you know. Jesus Christ, His and our Lord. And this is what a minister of the gospel does. And this is what a church of Jesus Christ must do. This is what a pastor must do. Preach Jesus Christ. To preach the gospel means to preach Jesus Christ. To preach the word of God means to preach Jesus Christ, because the Bible, the Word of God, is all about Jesus Christ. And that is what the Bible says. John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus says, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. Scriptures, the Bible, testifies about Christ. See, as a pastor, I have not preached the gospel if I did not preach Jesus Christ. Because every story in the Bible is about Christ. And that's a very important fact that you must believe. We should not use Bible for any other purpose but to know Christ. Meaning, knowing Christ always is include what? The holy life that you must live. That's what the Bible is all about. Jesus Christ. In our verse, Paul tells us that when he proclaims Jesus Christ, he does two things. First, he says he admonishes or warns every man, and he teaches every man. He admonishes and he teaches. Admonishing or warning, by doing this, sin and the judgment of God must be addressed. And there has to be teaching. If admonishing is somewhat negative, then teaching is positive. And you need to do both. Many people say that the preaching must be all positive. Don't even talk about sin, because people don't like to hear about sin. Oh yeah, when you go into this Christian bookstore, and there are so many books that teaches you how to do a big church, mega church. And this is what they say. Don't talk about sin. Don't even use the word like hell or judgment. Because people don't want to hear that. But the Bible does not say that. Sin must be addressed and false teachings must be pointed out. A large part of Paul's letters deal with the false teaching, the sins of the recipients of the letter, and the warnings and the corrections. The very things that the modern people do not like to hear. Many churches are so careful about not offending people that they are very selective in which verses of the Bible they bring to their preaching. If I think about, even as I say these things, is this going to offend that person? Is that going to offend that person? How can I preach? And why are we offended by the Word of God? But that's exactly what the Bible says. It becomes stumbling block. See, pastor must preach the whole Bible. And pastor must never be afraid to say anything that is in the Bible. Paul even says, "Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" And that's what happens these days in churches. Oh, I pray that I will not become your enemy just because I tell you the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2-4. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Very interesting expression, right? They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. So they will flock to these teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. God said that this will happen. And it does. Too often, in my opinion. No. It says to reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Titus chapter 1, verse 9, verse 11, and verse 13. The elders must do what? Holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. God calls elders to refute those people. And elders must be able to silence these people because they are upsetting the whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of soully gain. It continues, this testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely. Elders are called to reprove them severely, he says, so that they may be sound in the faith. But if you start doing these things in the church today, guess what will happen? They will just go somewhere else. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. See, the Bible is not just for teaching and training, but it's also for reproof and correction. And how do we do that if we don't address your sins? There are numerous verses in the Bible that commands to admonish God's people. But if church becomes a business, then the customers are the kings, and you need to please them. Only person you and I are going to please is Jesus Christ. And you, all of you, make sure that your pastor preaches the Bible, his word. It's your responsibility to make sure that I do that. So if you hear anything that I teach or I preach that is not according to the Bible, don't just sit there. You know, I still cannot forget that time. My first church. And I don't know the circumstances, but we invited this pastor, and he was teaching us. And I don't think it was Lord's Day preaching. It was some Bible study, I think. You know, one of those revival things, you know, you do weekdays, like many days you gather. And he was teaching things that was not according to the Bible. It's actually contrary to the Bible. But you know how, like, Korean pastors, they say something and they ask you, do you believe? And you're supposed to say amen, right? So this pastor said something wrong and say, do you believe? And our deacon, with really loud voice, no! And that pastor, he froze. He never heard that. It was every time, do you believe? And every time it was amen, right, in other churches. But when it came to our church, our people actually say, no, I don't believe what you're telling me. Exactly. This is what you need to do. You got to make sure that your church preaches the Bible. The Church of Jesus Christ and its pastors must also teach Acts chapter 6, verse 3 to 4, the reason why the church is commanded to elect and ordain deacons. It says, therefore, brethren, select from among you several men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we have put in charge of this task. But we will, meaning, you know, apostles, we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. See, we don't have deacons in our church right now, and we're praying hard that we'll have deacons. So the elders are taking over the task that, deacons are supposed to do right now. And as a pastor, what is my job in this church? To devote myself in two things, prayer and preaching the Word of God. See, as a pastor, I need to understand what my job is. And you guys need to understand what my job is. So that you will demand on me the things that God has told me to do as a pastor. Nothing more, nothing less. So this is what I strive to do. My job is to devote myself in prayer and the ministry of the word. So I teach and I preach because this is what the Bible tells me that I must do. So don't expect me to do all these other things, because that's not what God told me to do. A pastor must study a lot and spend a lot of time preparing what he preaches and he teaches. And the congregation must also listen and learn and believe and obey the word of God that is being taught and being preached. Now, Paul tells us the purpose of proclaiming Jesus Christ, the purpose of his admonishing and teaching. Verse 28b, the latter part of verse 28. So that we may present every man complete in Christ. Now, understand, this is very, very important, that this is God's design. That his desire is to present you at that day when Jesus returns, that you will be a perfect man. So that everything that God does through the ministry of the church is so that you grow to that perfect man. And what is God's design? How will God accomplish? By proclaiming Jesus, by admonishing and by teaching, so that we may present every man complete in Jesus Christ. Now, this is how God designed the whole thing. There's no other method that God has provided. It's through the teaching and the preaching of God's word. And you might say that this is only for pastors, this teaching and admonishing. But actually, I will get to that little later. But he calls us, all of us, to do this. Now, this purpose, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. This is the same purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ in doing all that he did. Verse 22 of our chapter, if you remember. Yet, he, Jesus, he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. He died for you on the cross in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. This was Jesus' purpose in dying for you and living that righteous life for you so that you may be that perfect man. And here's Paul, disciple of Jesus, understanding what his purpose in teaching and admonishing, meaning proclaiming Jesus Christ. Same purpose. Now, what should be my purpose as a preacher, as a teacher? Same. So that you will grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And only way that God will accomplish that, according to my study of the Bible, is through His Word. If you find any other method in the Bible, please let me know, because I will use that method. If it is in the Bible, I will. I only find one way. It's Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He. And Bible is all about Jesus Christ. To present you God's people complete in Christ, and only by and through the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27, so that He, Jesus, might sanctify her, meaning church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. The expression here is washing you with the Word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any other such thing, but that she will be holy and blameless. Again, it's by and through the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, for you have not born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring Word of God. It is only through the Word of God. This is not how the sinful world understands. When it comes to the worldly knowledge, we learn by experience. That's why experience is so valued in this world. You know, you try to go get a job. They want to ask you your experience. Because how do you learn things in this world? It's by experience. How else are you going to learn? But when it comes to the spiritual knowledge, it's not by experience. Because actually your experience, meaning physical experience, the experience comes to you by five senses. A sense of hearing, tasting, seeing, feeling, you know, those kinds. Can't remember five. But it's five. I know it's five. And those five senses can deceive you. It always does. You know, sometimes you think that somebody just pats you by behind you. And you look and there's nobody. You know, we used to play, you know, you guys have video games and computers and all that, so, you know. But back then, when I was young, we didn't have much. So we play games like, you know, you have a little box and you put something in the box. And you cannot see what's in it, but you just put in your hand and you try to feel it and then figure out what it is. And you think that's pretty easy, but no. Most of people get it wrong. It deceives you. Always, though. In the morning, you know, my wife is cooking and I smell something. I go, oh, my wife is making me, you know, my favorite dish. And I'm like all excited, go down, and it's not that. This happened to me actually, you know. Senses deceives us. So the experience you learn through this experience is never perfect. But when it comes to the truth, when it comes to spiritual knowledge, it has to be absolute truth. And only the Word of God is the truth. Not what you feel, not what you think you know, not what you know. It's what the Bible says. That's the truth. It's God's Word. This is why the world will never accept what we're teaching. Unless you change the gospel and preach in a way that even world, sinful world can accept, then okay. But that's not the gospel. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Where does faith come from? Hearing the word of God. Now show me any other way that faith comes. Bible says it's by hearing the word. Not just hearing anything, but hearing the word. But this is not how people say. Even Christians, they don't say it like this. You know, they say things like this. Like let me give you an example. Man, I'm giving you all kinds of illustration today. Whoa. Somebody will come and say, you know, I had a cancer. So I prayed to God and God healed me of this cancer. And he says, through that experience, I learned how much God loves me. But that's exactly what that person believes. That through that experience, he learned how much God loves him. But Bible doesn't allow that. Actually, Bible shows contrary to that. Look at the Old Testament. Man, these Israelites, they had so many experiences. Man, God was doing miracles after miracles right in front of their eyes. They saw the sea being parted, manna coming down. They had experience with God. Did their faith grow? Did they learn? No, they actually got worse and worse with all those experiences. Did they learn to trust God because of those experiences? No, they actually became worse. So what are you talking about through those experiences that you learn how much God loves you? I never had cancer. But I know how much God loves me. I come to the Bible and I see Jesus Christ dying on the cross. I have no doubt God loves me. I never had those physical experiences that I could talk to you about. Well, actually, there's some, but I don't want to tell you because it's worthless. What experience can you have in your life that will tell you more than the cross that you see in the Bible, how much God loves you? What experience can you have that will tell you more than the cross that we read in the Bible? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So what does that guy saying when he says things like that? He believes that, but that's not true. He's wrong. But It really doesn't matter what Bible says, because I know, because I experienced it. I really learned. And we said to him, no. And he will reject, you know, guy like me who say that kind of stuff to him. You have to go to the Bible. Bible is truth, not what you think is truth. Not what you feel. That's not the truth. What Bible says is the truth. Worldly things, yes, you learn by experience. But even faith is not through some experience. You know, some people say, oh, you know, my business was not going well, but I heard that there was God, so I started to pray to this God that I didn't believe, but somehow I knew he was listening, and my business got better and better. Through that experience, I started to believe. Wait a minute, Bible says the faith comes from hearing the word. But this guy is telling you that faith came to him through that experience. That's what he thinks what happened. He believes in false things. Bible doesn't allow that. Because if you're talking about physical experiences, you go to a Buddhist temple, there will be a person in Buddhist temple who believes that Buddha healed him of cancer. Then what? Just because you believe, now it becomes truth? That's how it is today, right? Hey, what are you talking about? I experienced it. I saw it. I felt it. Okay. It's what the Bible says, brothers and sisters. You show me the word, then I believe. But if you tell me anything, that's what you think, if it's not in the Bible. But understand that God has designed to make you grow. And it is through the word. It is through the admonition and the teaching. That's what the Bible is saying. John chapter 17 verse 17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctification, becoming more like Christ. Sanctify them by the truth. And what is the truth? It's the word of God. So sanctify them by the word. So if you want to be more like Christ, there's only one way. It is through the word of God. You need to hear the word of God. You need to study. You need to read. It's not by experience. It's not by anything else. It's by the word. So that if you do not put effort in reading and studying and hearing and learning the Word of God, there's no way for you to grow. That's why I'm desperately asking you. Because my desire, obviously, is for you, all of you, to grow, to be like Christ. Don't be arrogant thinking that you don't need teaching. You don't need to come to Bible study. You don't need to study, read. You don't need to do this and I'm still growing in Christ. No! God doesn't allow that. If we want to grow, you come to the Bible. Start reading. Start hearing. Start studying. Memorize it.
Paul says that he admonishes and teaches every man, not just a special few, but every man. This is why I, as your pastor, preach and teach to all of you, but also want to meet you one-on-one for many years, because this is what I believe. As a pastor, I want you to grow. That's why I want to provide time for you to study the Bible, hear the Bible, read the Bible. That's why I want to meet you one-on-one every week for many, many years. Why? Because this is what I find in the Bible. I believe the Bible. And I want to use the biblical method so that you may actually grow in the knowledge of Christ and become more like Christ. Don't be arrogant, thinking you don't need this. Oh, you desperately need it. So bother me, your pastor. Bother me. Hey, pastor, let me meet. Let us study the Bible. What, am I going to say no to that? Unless there's something, you know, important thing that I must do. Those of you who met me for a long time, many years, when did I say no to that? So use me. Because God has provided you, this pastor, so that you could use this guy. So that you may learn. You may benefit. Spiritual benefit. Everlasting benefit. I will meet you anytime, except Sunday, obviously. Even Sunday, I could meet you after worship. And Wednesday, because that's my day for my wife. Any other than those 2 days, I'll meet you. Even 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning, I'll meet you, because this is so important. Because the whole purpose is to present you as that perfect man in Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. And Bible doesn't show me any other way to present you as that perfect man in Christ. Verse 29, for this purpose also I labor. So, Paul is laboring for that purpose, same purpose, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Preaching Jesus Christ, proclaiming him, teaching and admonishing, this is not an easy thing to do. Thus, Paul labors and strives. Strives, meaning struggle. The word is a description of an athlete giving his best. Paul also labors. This word can be translated as a toil. But this work is not just for the pastors. Like I told you, proclaiming Christ is the work of all of us. Chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. So, in chapter 3, it says teaching and admonishing, just those two words that we saw, what Paul is doing. But teaching and admonishing is about for you to do it to one another. We must let the word of Christ richly dwell within us. We must teach and admonish one another, even when the others do not want to be taught or listen. You need to try. We must pray for one another for all of this. It is a spiritual battle. It is not easy at all. It is so easy for us to give up and not do this. But listen to Paul. He tells us how he does this difficult task. He says, I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me, he says. He labors and strives, but according to God's power that works in him mightily. He works because he believes and knows God works in him. See, this is true Calvinism. This is the biblical teaching. When the Bible teaches us that it is God who works, that does not mean now because God is working that we do not have to do anything. That's false teaching. Nowhere in the Bible teaches that. The Bible teaches both the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. The fact that God is mightily working in me is witnessed through our labor and strive. If you are lazy, then what are you witnessing? That God who is in you is also lazy? You cannot do that. Because everything you do, now you are in Christ. Everybody knows you are his child now. Hopefully that everybody knows by now. And you proclaim to everyone that Jesus lives in me. He's working in me. He's making me more and more like Christ. And then when you're lazy, what are you showing to those people? Either God is also lazy or he's not even in you. Obviously, those things are not what we want to witness through my or your lives. We labor, we strive because God is working in us. Thus we know that our labor will not in vain. And even as we labor and strive, we understand and believe that it is because of God working in us that all things will be accomplished. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, Paul says. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labor even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God within me. He says that I am what I am because of God's grace. And that grace was proven not in vain, because he worked so hard. Everybody saw Paul, how hard he is working and how growing he's growing, that everybody had to acknowledge, yep, that's the grace of God. I labor, but I know that it is the grace of God within me, he said. We must work hard, but according to God's power, which mightily works within us. Not according to my power or my ability, then we will fail. But we must trust and depend on God who works in us, who are making us labor and strive. This is what we believe. And you need to live by faith. Meaning that you live to show what you believe. If you really believe God is in you, and He's working in you, and if you live by that faith, then through your lives, you will show that that is so. That's what it means by living by faith. I mean, it's one of the meanings. Because there are other meanings of living by faith. And this power that is working in us is the mighty power of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, seated Him at the right hand of the heavenly places. You know that power that is working in us? That same power has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and that same power raised Him to the heavenly places. That same power is in us. How powerful do you think the power that you possess in Christ? The same power. Whenever you feel like giving up, brothers and sisters, whenever you feel that you cannot go on one more day, remember and believe the power that is working in you. Remember and believe that that power working in you will make you just like Jesus Christ when you see Him face to face. See, you're not finished. And that power is working in you even now. But see, everything that God does, everything that Jesus Christ has done and what He does, it requires faith. So He works in a way that is not visible. So even your sanctification, even your becoming more like Christ, is something that is not visible. You need to believe that that is what's going on in you. Only then your life will show the reality of what you believe. But remember this power that is in you. And remember and believe that the power working in you will be visibly consummated when Jesus comes back. See, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 puts it this way, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who go through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, let me finish this. But remember, brothers and sisters, this power, this mighty power of God that is working in us, will not be shown in the way that this sinful world understands power. You know, the world wants what kind of power? Like Stephen. When he was witnessing Christ, they throw rocks at him. Because to these people who are throwing rocks, he was blaspheming. So he was throwing rocks to kill him. And Stephen says, as he watches above, he sees Jesus Christ standing up from His throne to receive this Stephen. Probably he's the only one who's seeing it. And he says to Jesus, forgive them. Do you see power in that? As he's getting hit with these big rocks, as he died, he goes, forgive them. Do you see power in that? But see, we don't want this kind of power, right? We want, like, someone throws a rock and it hits Stephen and it bounces back to that person and kills him. That power, right? That's the power that the world understands. Jesus says, if somebody hits your right cheek, then give them the left cheek. Do you see power in that? See, this Christian power, the world will never understand. It's the power that is beyond. It's power that is making you just like Christ. Even the worldly power put all together cannot make you like Christ. Believe me, it can't. But this power that is in you, working in you, will make you just like Jesus Christ. So let me just read you three passages. You and I, we possess two realities. Worldly realities. What the world sees. But there's another reality, which is heavenly reality. The world does not see. But you and I, we must see both. Actually, we must focus on the heavenly reality. So let me read to you. Paul says, when we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We live as unknown to the world and yet well known. As dying, yet behold, we live. As punished, yet not put to death. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing yet, possessing everything. Do you see that? In this world, I might not possess anything, and yet I possess everything in Jesus Christ. In this world, I'm not known, but I'm known by God Himself. In this world, I might even die a pathetic death according to the world. But in reality, I will never die. I live forever. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. So your life in this world might be, what? Description might be afflicted in every way. Perplexed, persecuted, struck down. But in reality, we are never crushed. We do not despair forever. And we are never forsaken, and we are never destroyed. This power that is working in us, it will make you just like Christ. Trust Him. And you do this work, admonishing and teaching one another. Not according to your power, but according to His power that is working in you mightily. Trust Him and believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We love You. We give You all the glory, honor, and power. Oh Father, let us be diligent in studying and hearing Your word, so that we may grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us teach and admonish each other according to your power, which is working in all of us mightily, even now and forever. Oh, thank you, Father. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.